Well, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guests say the church is missing a vital piece to the end time awakening. There is a divine code that unlocks this mystery. Next. I've thought for myself in every area of life, but one. I knew nothing until I discovered a realm where the truth isn't what it seems. A realm where the truth becomes reality. I've spent over 50 years investigating the world of the supernatural. Every moment has led up to the main event. Millions of Jewish people will be saved all over the world. God's heart is for all to believe, for none to perish. It's called the greater glory. Do you believe?
It's supernatural.
The Holy Spirit is welcome here. Go and flow. My guests, Grant and Holly Berry, are Messianic Jewish believers. Their story evolves from one who was an entrepreneur in the high fashion world of cosmetics, while the other came from a culture of drugs and rock and roll. Together, their paths led to a collective purpose. Grant, tell me how it all began.
I was born in London, England, to a secular Jewish prosperous family. Grew up, parents got divorced, started to do soul searching and began to want to try and find relationship with God. I have to say that I couldn't find him in the synagogue, Sid. I emigrated to the United States in 1979. My mother had started a cosmetic company, brought body glitter actually to the world and many other interesting cosmetic items. Shortly after, I began to venture out on my own, started a company bringing high fashion color to the mass market called Pirate Cosmetics. Started to have a very successful career, begin to taste the success and money of the world.
How successful were you in your business?
By that time, we were doing about $1.5 to $2 million a year in sales. But something in me was missing. And I have to say, Sid, I was sort of more like a Jekyll and Hyde, very young, aspiring entrepreneur in the day, and at night, searching, somewhat depressed, beginning to look into drugs and things like that. And, you know, Christianity is not an option for us Jews. I mean, I was born in 59, 15 years after the Holocaust, and of course, the things that have been done to Jewish people in the name of Christianity, for most of us Jews, we just can't go there. There's an inherent bloodline resistance. I actually did S, which was a self-advancing program. It was about the only time in my life I denied the existence of God and went through the worst period of my life.
S is really part of something called New Age or a cult, but go ahead.
Right. Started to dabble in astrology, in clairvoyancy, and even in witchcraft, and started to do spiritual things, experience spiritual things in that realm, but yet something in my heart wasn't right. Then, all of a sudden, this Christian girl comes into my life who had a Russian Jewish grandmother, loved the Jewish people. And of course, I was doing spiritual stuff that was really in the wrong camp. She would start speaking the truth and the gospel, but she never quoted New Testament scriptures. She only quoted Hebrew scriptures, and she spoke the New Testament because she knew I couldn't receive the New Testament. So she started to build a bridge for me that Christianity was actually Jewish. And something significant was going on here, Sid, because here I was, supposedly one of the chosen people, with no relationship with God, seeking relationship with God, and God's talking to her all the time. And she's got dialogue, and I knew it was happening.
Called provoking the Jew to jealousy?
I said, truly, I was brought to Mashiach by jealousy. I get to the place where I'm saying, okay, I need to start seeking God for myself again. So I made a decision to go up to my room for every night for 3 weeks, pray to the God of Abraham. My prayers go up to the ceiling, right down to the floor, nothing. No communication. I'm frustrated. So I kind of push Maria away from me. A couple of months go by. I happen to express my frustration. Well, she said, I've been trying to tell you for months. You can't have the Father without the Son. The Son is the way of salvation for Jew and for Gentile. It's the same. So I laughed it off as usual. And I'm walking home that night. And I'm feeling that emptiness, Sid, inside of me. That I feel like nearly all of us in the world have a period where God specifically is knocking on our door and you can feel that void in your heart. And Maria had said something to me that night. Again, she didn't quote Revelation 3:20, but she said, God stands at the door of your heart and knocks. And if you'll open that door, he'll come in and he'll eat with you. So in a split second, and Sid, you wrote about this. This is amazing because you wrote this book that you've sent to so many Jewish people. They thought for themselves. That happened to me at that very moment. I thought for myself and I realized, what if the Jewish leaders were wrong? What if they made a mistake? What if what Maria is saying is right? I couldn't wait to run up to my bedroom. And I put my arms out, I closed my eyes, and I said, God of Abraham, if Yeshua, if Jesus is your son, I want to know the truth. And right at that moment, a physical wind swooshed right into my belly, and I looked up at the windows and the floorboards. I tried to rationalize in that experience, but from that moment, I believe, November 1984, fast forward, I said to Maria, get me a Bible. I'll read it. I opened the Bible the first day. Sid, I couldn't put the Bible down. It was like a magnet to my heart. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, my business associates thought I was nuts. I get home, and my brother calls me, and trouble hit the fan. Our in-house accountant had embezzled and forged my signature and stolen over $100,000 from us. And we had started another company and things were growing too quickly, perhaps. And I went out and leased myself a red Maserati. So I'm driving around town. The creditors hire a detective and report back that he's living the high life and spending all the money. So I said to Mary, I got to get out. We went up to the mountains. Something broke in me. I tried so hard that money didn't bring inner peace or happiness. That night, driving home, all of the resistance in my heart suddenly was gone. It was like a veil. This was my day, Sid. It was my day that the Lord put his hand on me. And all of a sudden, I realized the emotional chains that I had become so painfully aware of, seeking to get free. It's my sin. But at the same moment, I knew that Jesus had paid the price and went back into my bedroom in my apartment. And I cried out to the Lord, confessing my sins. All of a sudden, these two darknesses leave my body. The Lord is exercising me on my bedroom floor, and suddenly a river of peace comes into my soul, washing. I was free. and I knew it. He paid the price when I confessed my sin. The chains were broken. 4 days later, on that same bedroom floor, hadn't even been into a church, I start praying in these strange languages. And I'm looking at my watch, and I'm thinking I'm praying for like 10 or 15 minutes, and an hour and a half has gone by. I tell you, Sid, from that point, I've never looked back. I'm human, I'm not perfect, I've made mistakes in my life, but I want to spend the rest of my life thanking Him for what He's done for me.
And you know, there are people watching right now that say, that man knows God. I want to know God. There's something in me missing, like he had. I want to pray a prayer in which you will open the door to know him. And I'll promise you, if you open the door, he'll come in. Repeat this prayer out loud. Dear God, I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Against you.
Against you.
And you alone.
And you alone.
Have I sinned?
Have I sinned?
And I'm so sorry.
And I'm so sorry.
I believe your blood.
I believe your blood.
Washes away my sins.
Washes away my sins.
And I'm clean.
And I'm clean.
And now that I'm clean.
Now that I'm clean.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Thank you for saving me from my sins.
Thank you for saving me from my sins.
Thank you for being my Lord.
Thank you for being my Lord.
Amen.
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 Now, seated next to Grant is his wife, Hallie. Hallie, coming from an Orthodox Jewish family, rock and roll, drugs, a party girl, if you will, discover the Messiah of Israel and Mary Grant. How the two should have even come together.
But they did. Thank you, Lord.
What happened?
So I grew up in an Orthodox Jewish home and went to synagogue every weekend, and we were very Torah observant, the best that we could be, and spoke Hebrew, went to yeshiva, but when I was a younger teenager, we became more conservative, and when I was 16, my parents went through a divorce. Now, growing up in an Orthodox home with tradition and religion, but without relationship with God, what is someone to do? It was a traumatic time for me at 16, and I just went out there and I went off to drugs and rock and roll. Stayed in that lifestyle for a while, still worked, had friends, living the normal life, but inside was miserable, absolutely lost, and moved to Southern California. And by now, with my behaviors, I wound up in addictions. And that led me to a 12-step meeting where I did learn spiritual principles, but I didn't learn about relationship. I didn't know God. And one day I met a woman, and she was beaming. I could just see a glow about her. And I went up to her and I said, "What makes you so different? What is it about you?" And she said, "I have Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is my Lord and Savior." And I said, "That's so good for you, but I'm a Jew. Bye-bye. I cannot go there. I could be a Buddhist, I could follow a yogi, I could do so many things, but I could not follow Jesus." We never spoke about it in my family. I never learned about that in yeshiva.
You were never taught, don't believe in Jesus.
It was never a conversation. I just knew to walk away, and I did. And a short while later, I was at a friend's house, and I picked up a book, and I started reading this book, and I was reading Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. It was like a freeze frame moment. For the first time in my life, something made sense. Like, I knew in my spirit this was truth. Well, I kept reading, and I saw it was written by Jesus. And I thought, oh no. That wasn't what I said. I said something that I cannot repeat on this show. And I shut the book and I said, oh my God, like I knew there was truth, but I also knew as a Jew, this was off limits for me. So now I move back to New Jersey and I'm in a store and I see that light again. And I said to this woman, well, I just knew it. Her countenance was different. She was working the cash register. There were so many people in there, and she was just flowing. I just saw love and patience and kindness. I just saw all the fruit of the Spirit all over her, not knowing what it was. And I said, what is so different about you? She said, I have Jesus. And I said, I want Jesus. Like, that was it. It was like the barriers were gone. I had nothing blocking me, and I was ready.
Okay, now you're a believer. So how did the two of you get together?
We actually met at a prayer meeting. But at this time, I was immersed in church. I have to say, there was still something that was not complete in me. I was disconnected from my Jewish roots. I met this man, Grant Berry, at a prayer meeting one day, and I started reading one of his books. And in that book was a sentence that changed my life even more.
What was that?
It said, Christianity is the true and proper extension of Judaism. And at that moment, it was like the veil was lifted from me, but I knew that I knew I was Jewish and a believer, and I needed to connect to my Jewish heritage. And shortly after that, we were married.
Okay. Now comes the thing that everyone would like to know. The plastic sword set you free? I gotta hear this story.
So what I didn't share is that I had been on a medication for years. Like a lot of people, it was almost like taking vitamins. I didn't even feel like it was doing anything. But while Grant never said, I'd like you to get off that, I knew he was praying. And I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I started to wean myself off. And then by the time, it took a couple months, and I weaned myself off. All of a sudden, I started dealing with depression, anxiety, fear, torment, day in, day out, day in, day out. And because I had been medicated for so long, I didn't understand what battle was. And Grant knew I was struggling. So one day he came up into the bedroom and he's preached with a sword like this. And he took it out. He took the sword. He put it in my hand. And
I'm glad that's plastic.
It is plastic, I promise. He put it in my hand and he said, you need to learn how to fight. Now, under my breath, I said, you need to get out of my face. Why? Because I was embarrassed, because I didn't understand what it meant to really battle. And so I knew scripture, right? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am a child of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I started going after it, you know, and really proclaiming the word of God. And I will tell you, that day, in the natural, nothing changed. But in the spirit realm, that was the beginning of my deliverance. So I called depression, fear, anxiety, and torment, I called them the ites. Hittites, Jebusites, Canaanites, Perizzites, all of them. I had been given a scripture, Psalm 40. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he delivered me from the slimy pit. Well, I wasn't waiting patiently on the Lord, to be honest with you. It did take time, but eventually, every day through battling and quoting scripture and proclaiming and declaring the word of God, the ites left.
Grant, I need you briefly to describe the blueprint of the divine code from Romans 9 to 11.
Like a double-edged sword. It sounds the alarm, a 911, but it focuses us on chapters 9 to 11, which talk about Israel and the church. There's a significant piece that the current church is missing that has everything to do with the Father restoring his family to himself, restoring love and unity, actually answering Yeshua's prayer, bringing us into a complete unity. And yes, we must look to the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit and everything that's promoted here on Supernatural. And yes, we must look to the governance and the authority that the Lord wants to release to us. But the heart of this last great awakening won't be remembered about the power. It will be remembered about the love that is restored in God's family to tear down the division that the enemy has brought and stripped us of a great deal of our power. So the Lord now needs to rebuild this love and unity, and foundational to Israel's restoration is unity between Jewish and Gentile believers. If we can heal that breach and work with the Father, we take back division from the enemy that will empower us to go after racial divides, theological divides, eschatological confusion. The Lord is looking to bring his body into a renewed focus on prayer and love and unity in his family. And what we do in teaching, Sid, is we lay all of this out, expose the way the obstacles that the enemy has wrought, bring the body into healing to release the mercy, get rid of the curses, and give vision for God's end time plans to prepare the bride to put on a fine linen garment ready to receive the bridegroom.
Both of you recently went to where my heritage is. My father was born in Poland. What happened? What effect did it have on you?
The nation of Israel was rebirthed out of the Holocaust, and we came back with a real deeper understanding now that Israel could not have come to life if it hadn't have been for the death of the Holocaust. So, Sid, there's something that's so challenging even to put into words of the suffering of Christ and the suffering of the firstborn that we need to begin to discover now, because I believe we're going to need to be able to help the Jewish people come into a deeper understanding of the Word of God that really explains these things. There's a time of brokenness that has to come to Israel. Jacob's trouble, it says in Scripture.
Well, but what is Jacob's trouble?
It is a time of suffering that the prophet Jeremiah says Israel will be saved out of. And I believe that there must be a place of confession and repentance from us as a people, because we need to acknowledge Yeshua as our Savior. And so there's a process here that the Lord is drawing us into, even with the increase of anti-Semitism, the rise of anti-Semitism, and even with the wars going on now and the supernatural victories that Israel is having to secure this land, because more and more Jewish people need to return. So we're in a process, we're in a time of and a plan of God where God is going to show himself to the Jewish people and bring them to a place of salvation. But we in the church, beloved, we in the church have everything to do with that. Who's going to bring the good news to them if it's not us who have been given the mercy that we're supposed to release back to them? Who is going to call on the winds that the breath would enter them? as we all know, nothing happens without prayer. There's a role and a partnership, Sid, that the Lord is calling the end time church into that will bring about Israel's salvation. And it's a circle of love. And this partnership and role has been hidden during the church age.
John 17 says a prayer of Jesus. I pray that they, who's they, Jew and Gentile, might be one. What will happen? Jesus tells us, I pray that they might be one, so the world will believe. That spells it out.
The alarm has sounded. The devil is using generational anti-Semitism and divisive theology in the church to keep the Greater Glory Revival from happening. You need Grant Barry's Romans 9:1-1 book to unlock the divine code and help defeat the enemy's evil agenda. So get in sync with God's end-time revival plan, fully revealed in Romans chapters 9 through 11, with Grant's definitive book, Romans 9:1-1. Time to sound the alarm. Yours for a donation of $29 or more with free shipping. Just call or go online at sidroth.org/10066.
Romans 9:1-1 project teachings bring to light the way that the enemy has used generational anti-Semitism and theology divisions, keeping the body separate. We need a rebuild to restore love and unity in the family of God that will enable the Father to release the greater glory on the church. It will take back something strategic from the enemy that would fuel and give us the power to move in this love and this unity. The love message is the epicenter of this restoration.
With Grant Barry's 9:1-1 book, you will discover four critical keys that must occur for end-time revival. Learn to effectively pray for Israel, the church, and the nations. See how your own personal issues may prevent reconciliation and hinder God's plan. Embrace your God-given connection to Israel and the Jewish people, and much more.
Now that Israel is awakening, there's a shift that has to take place. The one new man being restored will bring us to a complete unity, a place of healing. We will be brought into the greatest power and signs and wonders the church has ever seen.
Call or go online at sidroth.org/10066 for Grant Barry's definitive book, Romans 9:1-1. Time to sound the alarm. Yours for a donation of $29 or more with free shipping.